The following program is sponsored by the Living Church of God.
One of the greatest mysteries of life is the question, what are human beings doing here on earth? What is their purpose in life? What is the purpose and meaning of your life? Do you know what you'll be doing for all eternity? Do you know what lies ahead in your ultimate future? The answers will surprise you, maybe even astound you. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames brings you his topic, Day of the Lord, Part 1. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. With this inaugural program, Dr. Roderick Meredith and I will be presenting a new series on vital topics from your Bible. We hope you'll join us each week. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what am I doing here? What's my purpose in life? Why was I born? Throughout the ages, philosophers have pondered the meaning of life. They've wondered, why are we here? What are human beings doing here after all? An ancient king once asked a similar question. It was King David of Israel around the 10th century B.C. You'll find his thoughts in the book of Psalms. If you have a Bible, now would be a good time to find it. We encourage you to always have your Bible with you. The book of Psalms is familiar to most people in the Western world. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 8 and verse 3. When David was a shepherd boy, he spent many months and years under the night sky, and he wondered about his place in the universe. David also recognized the source of that universe as the Creator God. He wrote in Psalm 8 and verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" Yes, just what is man, and what is our purpose in life? Why does the great Creator God look down from heaven and take notice of puny, infinitesimal little human beings? Why should he care about us? What does he have in mind for our future as the human race? And what is our ultimate destiny? The answers are right here in this book. The Bible has the answers to the deeper question in life. It's good news, and it's inspiring news. But wait a minute. Perhaps science instead of the Bible has the ultimate answer to the meaning of life. What do you think? Listen to what one Nobel Prize-winning author stated about the ability of science to reveal to us the real truth. Sir John Eccles, a Nobel laureate in medicine and physiology, stated this, quote, "We need to discredit the belief held by many scientists that science will ultimately deliver the final truth about everything. Science doesn't deliver the truth. What it provides are hypotheses in an attempt to get nearer to truth. But scientists must never claim to know more than that. The scientific concepts that we have are always going to be changed as science progresses." Sir John Eccles pointed out that science doesn't have all the answers. It cannot deliver the final truth. But science can give us facts and insight into the very nature of the universe. It's fascinating to see the inner workings of the creation itself. The Apostle Paul wrote about the evidence of God as seen in the creation about us, Romans 1 and verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Yes, understood by the things that are made, the world around us, the creation. The Creator says that intelligent men and women should understand the very cause and power behind the universe. The great scientist, Albert Einstein, could see design and intelligence behind the creation. He wrote that the scientist's religious feeling takes the form of a rapturous amazement at the harmony of natural law, which reveals an intelligence of such superiority that compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection. Yes, there is a creator of all knowledge and intelligence. He is omniscient, all-knowing. Albert Einstein recognized the mind of the creator in the operation and laws of the creation. The laws of nature, as Einstein admitted, reveal such superior intelligence that, as he said, compared with it, all the systematic thinking and acting of human beings is an utterly insignificant reflection. Science can help us see the incredible workings of cause and effect in the universe. Science can help us to understand the what and how of the creation, but it is unable to answer the question of why the creation, why the world, and why the universe about us. Science cannot answer the fundamental questions of the meaning and purpose of life. It cannot answer the questions about our ultimate future. But there's an independent source of truth you can rely on, and that's your Bible. It's the revelation of the Creator to the creation. The omniscient God reveals the ultimate truth. Turn in your Bibles to John 17, John the 17th chapter. Here the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, plainly stated where to find the truth, John 17, 17. Here's a profound statement. Jesus was praying to his Father the night before he was crucified. John 17, 17. He prayed, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus was the Word in the flesh, and the Bible is the written word. This is your source of the greatest truth. And we'll see later on what the Bible reveals about your ultimate future and destiny. Again, science can help us see the Creator behind the creation. But science has its limitations. Sir John Eccles commented on the inability of science to answer the fundamental questions of life. Quote, "Science also cannot explain the existence of each of us as a unique self, nor can it answer such fundamental questions as, who am I? Why am I here? How did I come to be at a certain place in time? What happens after death? These are all mysteries that are beyond science." Thank God that He's revealed the deeper mysteries of life to us. Notice this truth in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." The natural world of human beings cannot understand the deep mysteries of life through the physical sciences or the physical senses. Then where does this understanding come from? It comes as a revelation from God to individuals who want to understand and who are converted to the truth of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Notice what God has revealed to those who love Him, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Yes, you need to be exploring your Bible. You need to be seeking to understand your incredible future, to understand the deep things of God, as Paul wrote, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And that, my friends, is an exciting, awesome, fantastic future. Now, we've seen that science can't answer the deeper questions of life, but what about philosophy? Certainly the great thinkers of history should have the answers. In one of his missionary journeys, the Apostle Paul visited the city of Athens. Turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts 17. Paul was amazed at the paganism he saw around him. Acts 17 and verse 16. His spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. After Paul preached at the local synagogue to the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, he encountered the philosophers of Athens. The Epicurean philosophers believed that humans should enjoy the pleasures of life in moderation. The Stoic philosophers believed that the universe was governed by fate and that they should suppress their drives and desires. In Acts 17 and verse 18, a group of these Greek philosophers began to dispute with the Apostle Paul. "Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Verse 19, "And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine is of what you speak?" The Apostle Paul addressed the men of Athens and proclaimed to them the true God of creation. They had an altar to the unknown God. So Paul told them in verse 24, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." The Apostle Paul told these philosophers something they should have known but were ignorant of. The philosophies of the Stoics and Epicureans didn't have the deeper truths. God created the nations. He created human beings for a purpose. And what is that purpose? What should all the nations of the world be doing? Verse 27, "God created the nations so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." One of the fundamental and vital purposes of life is to have a relationship with the Creator God. Paul was telling the Athenians to seek out God and find Him. Why? Because, as Paul said, "In Him we live and move and have our being." My friends, that's the beginning purpose of your life. You've got to come to seek and know the Creator, to know the Creator God as your Father. Again, turn to John, the 17th chapter in your Bible. Jesus prayed in verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." Life, real life and purpose, has to do with relationships. Jesus was asked a central question by a lawyer in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and verse 36. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." These great commandments teach us that we can have an intimate and loving relationship with the Creator of the universe, and we're to promote loving relationships with our fellow human beings. That is foundational to our eternal destiny. Listen, our future hope, the hope of the world, your future hope, is to have a loving and intimate relationship with the Creator God of the universe. We call Him our Father. And a loving relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, for all eternity, in joy, productivity, and peace. Now, what does the Bible say is going to happen before all humanity has this awesome opportunity? What does Bible prophecy say about the future of the world? As we near the year 2000, some people are planning for a great time of partying and celebration. Others wonder if the world is coming to an end. We will see great asteroids, will we, crash into the earth as dramatized in some of the current genre of disaster movies? What does the Bible say? At this time, I'd like to offer you our free audio cassette entitled The Day of the Lord, Part 1. Over 30 prophecies in the Bible reveal future events in the prophetic time period called the Day of the Lord. You need to know what impact the Day of the Lord will have on your life. Just what is the Day of the Lord? Our free audio cassette will give you the answers from your Bible. Call or write today for your free audio cassette, The Day of the Lord, Part 1.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579, or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
On the first part of our program, we ask the question of the ages. What is the purpose of life? And what is our ultimate future? We saw that science and philosophy cannot answer these questions. They can only be answered by the revelation of the Creator of the universe. But have you personally taken time to think about who you are and what your life is about? Many of us in the Western world are living stressful lives. We experience the pressures of traffic and commuting, the stress of our jobs and interpersonal relationships. Many are slaves to drug abuse or alcoholism, and they can't seem to find the way to freedom. Others are addicted to computers and cyberspace, and they don't think about stopping to smell the roses. Before you know it, the end of life is here, and perhaps we haven't even asked the question, what is the purpose of my life, and what is my future? My friends, I'd like to encourage you to stop what you're doing in your busy paced life for a few minutes. Ask yourself, who am I? Why am I living? What does God want me to do with my life? Find a pleasant place to walk or sit and think. In fact, take a Bible with you. Find a quiet place and take time to read your Bible. This is the source that will answer those unanswered questions of yours. It's the source of revelation from God to you personally. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, the Scriptures are inspired by God. The NIV translation states it this way. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, you can trust the Word of God to change your life, to illuminate your life, to help you understand your awesome potential and your ultimate future. So let's begin at the beginning of the Bible and see what God said when He created human beings. Genesis, the first chapter. Here we begin to understand the meaning and purpose of life. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Human beings were given a fabulous environment to enjoy, but they were also given the opportunity and responsibility to have dominion over the earth. That's authority over the earth. To be good stewards of their environment. Men and women were to learn to responsibly manage, to rule, and to govern in a way that would benefit the world. This experience of stewardship is preparation for our ultimate destiny. If we're responsible, if we're faithful over our God-given responsibilities, we'll be given even more rewarding opportunities in the future. Jesus explained this in the parable of the pounds in Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19 and verse 17. He said, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Some faithful Christians will be ruling over cities in the coming kingdom of God under the rulership of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. This is just one of the incredible future opportunities for humans. Remember the question that King David asked in Psalm 8? He asked in Psalm 8 and verse 3, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" Well, let's see what the answer was. "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, O eternal our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Why did God give human beings such dominion or authority over the creation? The answer may be astounding to you, and you may not want to believe it. The answer is in the book of Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews, the second chapter. God is allowing us the opportunity to train for greater authority and stewardship in the future. God has an awesome plan for humanity. Believe it or not, He wants to share the universe with you. The author of the book of Hebrews quotes David's Psalm, Hebrews 2 and verse 6. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet." Now notice, the quote from the book of Psalms ends, and the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of God, makes this comment in verse 8. Hebrews 2 and verse 8. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." The Greek word for all in this verse is ta panta, which literally means the all. As Greek lexicons explain, in the absolute sense, ta panta means the universe. God wants to give you, along with millions and billions of others, dominion not only over the earth, but He wants to share the universe with you. But we can only do that when we inherit eternal life, only when we become God's immortal children to rule and reign with Christ in His kingdom when Christ comes. In the meantime, we have much work to do in preparation for the coming kingdom of God under the rulership of Jesus Christ. The Living Church of God, which sponsors this program, is dedicated to fulfilling the great commission Jesus gave His servants. After His crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, Jesus appeared to His disciples in Galilee. Turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. The mission He gave His church is stated here, Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." But how could that be accomplished? Jesus said in verse 18 of Matthew 28, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's how limited and weak human beings can carry on the work of the church. Christ empowers His servants to preach the gospel and opens doors for the gospel to be preached. So how, then, can you be a part of that work? If you're new to the Bible and the ways of true Christianity, the prophet Isaiah tells you what to do. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." The first step is to seek God and to call upon Him. That is to talk to Him, to pray to Him. Some say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." Just simply be open and honest. Share your anxieties, your fears, your sins, your doubts with God. He knows your mind and heart more than you do. But He loves you and wants you to be like Him. Now that means changing your life. As Isaiah said, it means to forsake the way of wickedness, to forsake wrong thoughts. Now reading the Bible will help you to have clean thoughts and open your mind to deeper understanding. Turn to Matthew, the 19th chapter and verse 17. Matthew 19, verse 17. Jesus said, "If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Yes, it means a serious turnaround of your whole way of thinking and living. The world has cut itself off from true life. It has rejected the very purpose of life. Nobel Prize-winning author Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote this about our society. "If I were called upon to identify the principal trait of the entire 20th century, I would be unable to find anything more precise than to reflect once again on how we have lost touch with our Creator." As Solzhenitsyn said, the human race has lost touch with its Creator. But you personally can establish that contact and relationship with God if you seek Him with all your heart. Notice this beautiful but solid promise in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart." Yes, you can seek God and find Him. And you can look forward to fulfilling your purpose in life and inheriting the glorious future that God wants to share with all of us. We're living in a sin-sick, dangerous world. We all face the dangers of wars, oppression, and terrorism. World governments have failed to bring about world peace. But the Bible describes a future world of a renewed environment when the deserts will blossom like the rose, and when justice will run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream, as the prophet Amos said. That's the beautiful world to come. That's the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus taught us to pray, and I hope you pray every day, "Thy kingdom come." In the meantime, what does the Bible say is going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ? Will Christ return in the year 2000? Will the end of the world occur in the year 2000? What does Bible prophecy say about historic developments over the next several years if the earth lasts that long? And I can assure you that it will. You'll find some of the answers in our free audio cassette entitled The Day of the Lord, Part 1. Over 30 prophecies in the Bible reveal future events in the prophetic time period called the Day of the Lord. What is the Day of the Lord, and how long will it last? You need to know how the Day of the Lord will impact planet Earth and your life. Our free audio cassette will give you the answers from your Bible. Just pick up the phone right now and request your free copy.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Next week, we'll continue with the amazing biblical revelation of our human purpose and our ultimate future. Be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
Call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501304, San Diego, California, 92150. The preceding program is sponsored by the Living Church of God.